Let us pray. Lord God, do open our hearts and illumine us with your presence as we listen to your word, for we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Don't you just love that? That tune, it just makes me want to waltz. Da, 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 da. I remember all the times my mother made me learn to waltz. Never, it's one of those things you learn that you never ever use. Ever.
When do you get to heaven?
That's right. Hopefully I'll do something more lively than that. The sermon today is a little unusual. Most of the ones I do are anyway, but this one, I don't know if you can get the slide up or not, but today you are at the Royal Ambassador Training Institute, and I would like to welcome everyone. On behalf of His Majesty, our Sovereign King, I'm very pleased to conduct this orientation session for you today. And I've been asked to tell you that His Majesty is very pleased to have selected all of you to serve in His kingdom as ambassadors, and that you all are so willing to do so. Remember that Jesus said, "Whoever listens to you listens to me." And as royal ambassadors, you will be speaking on behalf of your King, faithfully delivering His messages, healing the sick, and letting people know that the kingdom of God has come near to them. Now, you probably know this, but I will remind you that God has been sending out royal ambassadors for a long, long time. And one of the things we like to do in the orientation here at the Institute is to encourage you to learn from the many ambassadors who served before you. Unlike you, not all of them were anxious to serve when they were first called. If you remember, Moses kind of balked at the idea, as did others, Jonah included. But if you could turn with me to Exodus 3. Actually, Moses didn't just balk. Moses whined. For almost two chapters, Moses whined. All right, to start off with, he said, "But you know, well, who am I to go and do this?" You know, just always immediately start off humble. Yeah. Who am I? I can't do this. This is a great thing you're asking. I can't do this. And if I go, you know, they're not going to listen to me. And if I come to the people of Israel and I say, "The God of your father sent me to you," well, they're going to ask me, "What's his name?" And it goes on and on and on. And for every excuse that Moses comes up with, God comes up with a response to destroy that excuse. And it continues. And it goes into the fourth chapter. "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice." And he keeps going, and in that same chapter he says, "But Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and of tongue." That never stopped me. Primarily slow of brain was my excuse. But then right before, chapter 4, verse 14, right before, the Lord becomes angry with Moses, his anger kindled, Moses says, I think, one of the greatest lines in all of Scripture. One that I think all of us at one time or another would like to say, "Oh my Lord, please send someone else. That was his last excuse. God overruled him. And like I said, not all of our graduates, even the outstanding ones like Moses, have initially wanted to go. Jonah did want to go from the get-go. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh. And he arose and went to Tarshish. It's like, didn't really give a response, just run from the presence of the Lord. But as Jonah discovered, you can run from the presence of the Lord, but you're always in the presence of the Lord no matter where you go. It's a losing battle. No excuse works. Running doesn't work. And I mean, you could do it if you want to end up smelling like fish. But, or worse, because, you know, if you look at the close of chapter 2, the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. So if you want to be hurled chunks, run from the Lord and see what happens. It is not going to work. And Jonah, you know, bless his poor little whiny heart. When he got to the end, he did go. At the beginning of chapter 3, he says, you know, the Lord came to Jonah a second time saying, arise and go to Nineveh. He went. He took the message that God gave him, and the people repented, and he was torqued. He didn't want to go because he hated them. He didn't want to go because he was so prejudiced against the Ninevites. That does not count, nor will it get you out of going. In fact, even when it's over, if the people do listen to your word that you deliver favorably, don't whine or a worm will eat your bush. No shade. Not being responsive as an ambassador should. I mean, you think how this should have gone? The bush. I think, okay, if a voice came to me out of a burning bush, he would have had me at David. And then I'd have had to go and change my clothes. But I would have done whatever a burning bush asked me to do. Especially after he identified himself. You know, oh, by the way, I'm the God of the universe. Stop your whining. There's no excuse you can come up with to not fulfill your call as an ambassador. You cannot run from it. But there are other outstanding graduates, people like, and not always adults, young people listen to Samuel as a young boy. As a young boy, hears the voice of God, actually four times. The fourth time, he says, speak, your servant is listening. And he gave his life as an ambassador for God. Or what about, well, this has come up several times recently, Isaiah. This is one of the great call stories of all time. The original Hot Lips. Isaiah chapter 6. That's right. I mean, you think sometimes the incense in here's thick and there? That day the temple was full of it. And full of the glory of God. And God called him. And I heard the voice of God saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. And he said, go. The eager and the willing. God didn't get mad at him. I mean, he did burn his lips, but... And we could stand here. You know all the stories. You knew those stories. We could go through. We could look at Elijah, and we could look at Elisha, and we could look at young Jeremiah. And again, young folk, God calls you to be ambassadors too. Ezekiel, on and on and on and on through Scripture. John the Baptist. People called to carry the message. That's what ambassadors do. They speak on behalf of their king. Now, you may know from having read Scripture that not everyone is going to be receptive to what you have to say. You're sent with a message that many people do not want to hear. And that's okay. Jesus covered that in his instructions that you heard earlier. Shake the dust off your feet. You're not responsible for the results. You're only responsible for being obedient and delivering the message. You deliver the message. And if they do not receive it, that is okay. That's not your responsibility. As royal ambassadors, we're just called to be obedient. But even when you shake the dust off your feet, you leave them with a good news message. The kingdom of God has come near. You don't know what fruit it'll bear later. And now Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, constantly sent and is still sending ambassadors out into the world. Today the gospel message is Luke 10, the sending of the 72, or 70 in some versions. Either way, a large group. But, you know, stories are always in a context, because this chapter begins after this. After this, what was this? If you back up, the Samaritan village rejected Jesus and his message. He's going the wrong way. They don't even want to listen to him. He's on his way to Jerusalem. But in chapter 9, it's the verse prior to this, Jesus sent out the 12 disciples with a very similar message. He sent them out with power and authority. Authority over diseases. Authority over demons. And in Luke 10, he sends them out on a very similar mission. Go, proclaim the gospel, prepare the way. Heal the sick. And following his resurrection, Jesus had some additional words to give to his ambassadors. In John 20, in the upper room where Jesus suddenly appeared to them, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You are not sent as an ambassador in your own power. You are sent with the power and the authority of Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It becomes more obvious when you look at the closing of Mark's Gospel 16. John 16, beginning at the 15th verse, Jesus said to them, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. That does not happen by an ambassador's own power. The message that you are sent into this world with is accompanied by signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit who accompanies you. One of the scriptures that most people can quote from Matthew 28, we call it the Great Commission. In fact, that's the heading in this Bible. The Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you." Each one of us, young and old, male and female, we're all sent. And here at the Royal Ambassador Training Institute, there are some things you need to bear in mind as you are sent out. Four of them in particular. But number one, Jesus does warn all his ambassadors who are going out that he is sending us out as sheep amongst wolves. You know what the world's like out there. You know what Asheville's like. Probably not particularly receptive. But as with all those who've gone before you, not everyone's going to listen to your message. But you are speaking for the King. And be thankful that you live in a country where you can go out and speak the message, because 2/3 of Christians, it's estimated, live in what are called dangerous neighborhoods. Because they often belong to ethnic minorities. They're often poor. And they are almost always at risk. And yet they are sent, and they go, and they proclaim the word. And that's why there are 2.3 billion Christians in the world. He asked no less of us. It's dangerous, but we're being sent. It's uncomfortable, but we're being sent. Sometimes it's embarrassing, but we're being sent. All you have to do is be obedient and go. Now, number two, as royal ambassadors, this kind of comes on the heels of that. You'll like this part. We have diplomatic immunity. Now, what is diplomatic immunity? I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Doesn't mean nothing bad will happen to you, but he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You go victorious before you even take your first step. Know that you have diplomatic immunity, and nothing they do is going to remove you from the kingdom. Even martyrdom. As we said before, whether or not you are received and your message is received is not a reflection on you. It's a reflection on him who sent you. The message and the mission are the same. proclaim the message, heal the sick, and let people know that the kingdom of God has come near. And number four, you are never sent alone. Ever. Not only are you sent with others, Jesus sent them out two by two, but here's the greatest thing about being a royal ambassador is that your sovereign king travels with you. That was the part I didn't read on the Great Commission, the last part. Lo, I am with you, even to the very end of the age. Now, I had intended to conclude this orientation. If you see 2 Corinthians 5:20 there on the crest, by calling attention to that verse. But it is a verse we should be extremely familiar with because it comes on the heels of something you hear every Sunday. If you could turn to 2 Corinthians 5:20, and I'm going to back up a little bit. To verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And what I was going to say in closing was that every Sunday, every worship service here almost, in the benediction that's used, you were told this as you're sent out, that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. You're admonished to remember the gospel, that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. So, when you hear the benediction today, I invite you to not think of it as just a simple blessing like, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you. It's a commissioning. You are sent from here into the world. You are launched from here. I know you've probably heard in 100 sermons, the word liturgy literally means work of the people. It begins at that benediction. When we go through those doors, as we walk out our faith every day, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors to the people you work with, you go to school with. You're ambassadors to people you meet, who cut your hair, your doctors, your nurses, anybody you see. You are an ambassador to those people. But as I was coming in this morning, talking to the king, pulled into the parking lot, he said, you forgot something. I said, what's that, Lord? And he said, perks and benefits. You got to cover the perks and benefits. So as I pulled up in the parking lot, and thankfully no one was out there to think, you know, I wonder why he's not getting out of his car. I reread the Luke 10 passage for today with the idea of, you know, well, what are the perks? Well, when the disciples come back, when these 72 come back, they are so excited about all the things that they saw, the things that they heard. And Jesus had said earlier, well, there are people, you know, who long to see this, to see what you see, to get to see God work as a perk. All you have to do is show up. Show up, be obedient, speak the message that God's given to you, and watch what happens. It's awesome. And to see the signs and wonders. What a perk. It's awesome. Another perk. Jesus tells them when they return, do not rejoice in this, all these great things, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You knew that already. Have you ever noticed when you're looking at the lessons and you wonder, who drew the line and told them where to stop? Because if we go past 20 to verse 21, this is awesome. In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the understanding. You've revealed them to little children. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. In case you didn't know, Jesus was a charismatic, still is. Rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. That is one of the perks of being an ambassador. That we always, always, always get to rejoice in what we see and what we hear and what we are privileged to see and hear. I mean, can you imagine, what would Moses' life have been like if he hadn't gone to be an ambassador for God? He'd have been a shepherd. The end. How dull would your life be if you weren't a follower of Christ? What an opportunity to see and hear God at work and to be part of it. So, my fellow ambassadors, I just say to you, be obedient and go. Amen.